you ever heard of the term, am I free to go? You know, dealing with police. I don't consent to searches. Have you ever heard those terms? Well, in large part, the reason that they're in our consciousness is because of our next guest, Stephen Silverman. He's the creator of Open Police Complaints, a project of Flex Your Rights. FlexYourRights.org is the website, educational nonprofit founded by Steve, really to help people know their rights and help have a better relationship with, quote-unquote, law enforcement. Steve, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you for the wonderful intro, Daniel. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've been on, way too long. I love what you do. Why don't you tell a little, just briefly about yourself and how you got into FlexYourRights.org?
Well, all right, I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. So I noticed, you know, I've been doing this work for like about 15 years, and, you know, I noticed that most people just didn't know their basic constitutional rights during police encounters. I knew a little bit about the law, and I realized that this is a big problem because people would often do one of two things during police encounters. They might overreact, get really indignant, start talking back to the officer, and doing that generally doesn't lead to positive outcomes. Or they would do the more, you know, common thing a lot of people would do, which is do everything that the officer says, do things that wind up, you know, putting them in a worse situation, consenting to unnecessary searches, saying things that they don't need to be telling the officer that wind up getting them in a much worse situation because the officer was taking advantage of their trust. And so I realized that this is just basic know your rights, Constitution 101, the sort of information that, you know, attorneys and cops teach their own kids. And I just thought, this is information that should be known by every American.
What's something, okay, give us a couple things. What do we not know that we should know?
I made a video called 10 Rules for Dealing with Police. That's our most recent work. But probably the most basic thing that most people don't understand is that, you know, you have a right to not consent to searches if police, for example, say, all right, well, you know, we've just had a lot of problems on this highway with, like, you know, people running guns and drugs. You don't have, like, you know, a bazooka in your trunk, do you? And to this response, most people will go, ha ha, that's ridiculous. Of course I don't have anything like that. Officer will say, well, you don't mind if I just take a look in your trunk? Can you go ahead and pop your trunk for me? And most people who are not aware of their rights will say, sure, go ahead. And then the officer will rifle through your belongings. You'll feel violated regardless of whether or not you have something to hide.
Well, yeah, let me interrupt right there. Let me stop you because I know a lot of people that I talk to, probably not a majority of our listeners, but certainly people out there in America, they may say, well, I'm a good American. If I have nothing to hide, what do I care?
Well, then give me your name, your address, your Social Security number, your passwords. I mean, I think that's a very un-American position to take. I think every American has the right to be secure in his person's houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. It's enshrined in the Fourth Amendment, and it's the amendment that when you talk to little kids understand it. They say it's not right. No one should be able to just search my stuff. This is my private stuff. And so I think that there's nothing more basically American than having that right to a certain sense of privacy, and it's important to be able to assert it if it's ever put to a test by law enforcement officers.
But, well, the police are just trying to keep us safe. They want to keep us safe, so it's like I go to the airport. You know, I want to be safe, so that they're doing this for my safety, so I'll take off my shoes and all that. So I should do all that. They're just trying to help me, correct?
Well, certainly TSA is a pretty good example of what we do not want to be implemented everywhere we go, whether we're driving or we're walking up and down the street. That's certainly the opposite of what we want. That's sort of a terrible example of kind of a constitution-free zone there. And so that's certainly something that I think most people wouldn't want to see that sort of thing exported. And the fact is, you know, I talk to a lot of law enforcement officers who, you know, who consult on my work. I have to make sure that everything we put out is 100% legally accurate, but also practical, and based in practical reality. And police officers say the Fourth Amendment, the Constitution, it's not just like this loophole that helps, you know, criminals get away with crime. It's a template for good policing. So, for example, if police they need to have evidence to search you. They need to have what's called probable cause, in order to, say, search your automobile. They need to have specific reason to believe that there is evidence of a crime, because otherwise you would have a situation like you have in dictatorships where police can just stop you anytime and ask for your papers. You want to live in a society where police at least need to have some evidence, perhaps even signed by a warrant, assigned by a judge for a warrant, to, for example, search your home. Police need to have that warrant to search your home. You want there to be these divisions of powers. You want your law enforcement do the best work that they can do to make sure that they're only chasing leads that are based in evidence, not a hunch or not based on some other sort of rough, you know, templates that people use, you know, for example, based on their race or their ethnicity or anything like that. You really want your police only following evidence when they are, for example, searching people.
You know, we had this conversation this morning before the broadcast. What would you say is the state of policing right now? How would you describe it?
Well, one thing that, you know, that we were talking about, and something that is something that I tell people, and a lot of people are surprised by when I say this, is that policing in the United States has never been more professional than it has been in probably the history of arguably the United States. And that's something that people are taken aback by, but the statistics bear that out in terms of just the number of, you know, police shootings, the amount of excessive force. And so that certainly doesn't ever excuse any of the abuses, and doesn't mean that they don't exist, and doesn't mean we ought not try to bring them to zero as much as possible. But police in the United States are more professional than they ever have been. But it really varies a lot by which of the 18,000 law enforcement agencies in the United States you are talking about.
You say professional, and I would push back and say, well, professional does not necessarily mean constitutional. And what I have seen, and I had this discussion with my in-laws at one 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Boy, that was quite a 4th of July. You know, and I said, police habitually violate our rights each and every day, habitually. And, you know, of course, that went over like a lead balloon. And then I proceeded to say, yeah, they violate the Bill of Rights continually. And they said, no, they didn't, or what, my sister-in-law. And I said, well, do you know what the Fourth Amendment is? No. Do you know what the Fifth Amendment is? No. Do you know what the First Amendment is? No. She didn't know any of the amendments. She couldn't equate them. I said, well, I don't mean to be offensive. I'm not trying to offend you, but if you don't know what any of the amendments are, how in the world do you know if they violate them or not?
Well, you can't choose your family, can you? But
well, no, I married into this.
Yeah, you can't choose your family, but I would say that where are we going with this one? So, you know, the fact is that you are onto something with just because just because an officer, for example, is professional and courteous, doesn't mean that officer isn't perfectly capable of manipulating people and getting people to to either A, violate people's constitutional rights, or to get people to give up their own constitutional rights, which is the more common thing. Officer friendly is really can be quite effective, and so it's very important for people who are encountering a police situation. Just because the officer is behaving perfectly calmly and is being courteous doesn't mean that they're not capable of saying, oh, you know, can you do me a favor? You know, you don't mind if you just, you know, stay around here a little bit longer. I just have to ask you a few more questions about whatever it might be. And when you're in that position, you know, you don't want to be tricked by an officer's courtesy. In that situation, you would say, officer, again, I know you're just doing your job, but am I free to go or am I being detained? And so it's important to know, to be able to handle any sort of law enforcement temperament that you might face. because, you know, it's not just sort of the snarling, yelling officer who is going to be effective at getting you to waive your rights in such situations.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You said you consult with police officers. You run these things by them and try to not only legally is this right, but practically is this right. So what the police officers you talk to, what do they talk about? What do they tell you about the police-citizen dynamic?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the officers that I do talk to are officers that have been whistleblowers in their own departments, you know, have spoken up against, you know, against police militarization, have spoken out against, you know, things like, you know, asset forfeiture or, you know, sort of, or legal theft as it really is. And so so a lot of the officers do fall sort of into that camp of officers who believe not only in community policing, but also in constitutional policing as well. And so there is they do tend to have, I guess, that sort of bias. Officers who are less inclined toward constitutional community policing, they pretty much just ignore what I do.
Do they ignore it, or they see it as a hindrance or a bother and are aggressive towards you?
Right. Sometimes they might. Sometimes officers will. God, I recently, there was a woman named Amanda who recently filed a complaint through our new online system called Open Police Complaints. And she had an interesting encounter. She was in West Virginia. She was detained, I think, unnecessarily long. The officers were rude to her. And she recorded the whole encounter. And one of the officers asked her if she was a sovereign citizen. And she was pretty on point. You know, she didn't say, well, yes, I am, and I believe X, Y, and Z. She didn't sort of step on her soapbox, even though she was inclined that way. She said, well, what do you mean, officer? I don't know what that means. And so oftentimes there have been a lot of law enforcement officers. You can see it in the number of just videos online that are proliferating when people are asserting their rights. The officer isn't immediately going to go, oh, well, thank you for asserting your rights. Now we'll be respectful towards you. oftentimes they'll respond in many ways. Oftentimes it might get them to get a little bit, kind of huffy. They might repeat themselves. They might find another way to ask you to consent or answer their questions. But sometimes they might, you know, kind of try to pigeonhole you in a position. And they might make assumptions of you and not necessarily be respectful of those assumptions. And so that's another reason why it's not only important to not consent to searches, but to cut off conversation, unnecessary conversation, by asking, officer, again, I know you're just doing your job, but I don't want to answer any more questions. Am I free to go? Because that's going to put the officer in a position where they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a little bit more defensive. They're going to need to give you a reason to detain you.
Let me tell you something.
You don't have to answer any more questions.
Let me tell you about a situation. I was at a traffic stop one time, and I didn't know as much as I did now, but I certainly had the, you know, the whole thing bothered me. You could just feel the intrusion and the tyranny of the situation. I mentioned the Constitution or rights. I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but then the policemen pop back with me. What are you? Are you a constitutionalist? You know, looking at me like I had the plague or something. You know, like, do you have the plague? I mean, it was kind of the same thing. And then I turned around and I popped right back to him and said, of course I believe in the Constitution. Don't you? I said, you're the one that took an oath to it, not me. You know, but I thought about that because you mentioned they're asking, are you a sovereign citizen? Mm-hmm. Are police, you know, we've heard this, are police being trained to target, look out, whatever the word is, for people who believe in the Constitution?
I think there's been some evidence of that. I remember a few years ago. Gosh, I might not have my facts exactly right about this, but so I want to be careful about it. But a few years ago, I think like the FBI put a thing out to that essentially said, oh, be on the lookout for Ron Paul stickers because they thought it was associated with, you know, people who would be involved in terrorist activity or something like that. You know, and so that really created quite an outrage. But I think that there is going to be There's going to be a bias against people who actively understand and assert their constitutional rights. And so
what does that say? Let me interrupt. Let me interrupt because this is where I start getting upset. Not at you, obviously. I so appreciate what you're doing. What does that say about an institution we pay for that's supposedly public servants that is subverting our most holy, our most sacred political documents that are akin to scripture, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence? They're so flippant toward it and so anti-Declaration of Independence. What does that say about the policing in general? Because that, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but they are becoming more and more antithetical to the founding principles of this country.
Here's what I'll say to that, because it's, shoot, you know, I watch, you know, the videos every day, and I, you know, read the sort of the feed of police violence and misconduct, and it's super very easy to find reason to get really to be angry about that. And I always have to kind of step back and say, you know, is this the whole enterprise of policing? Is this inherent? And it's, the fact is, you know, we live in a republic. It's a federalist republic. Policing is delegated to the states and then to the localities and the counties. And so there is such an amazing and disturbing divergence of quality. You know, on the one hand, you can have a police department where the head is, you know, an adamant believer in constitutional and community policing principles and stands up for them. You could even argue, you know, certain officers like the Houston police chief, Art Alvazado, yeah, like people have a lot of reasons to criticize him for various things, but he's really stood up and he's been very effective at speaking out against officers that do abuse their power and have been involved in excessive force cases and has worked to fire them. That's a rare thing. So I got to give, you know, him kudos to that. And so it really, really, really depends, because these are paramilitary like organizations and the culture comes from the head. It comes from the top. So when people ask me, how do you change policing? You need different, you know, in a given district or town or county, I said, you need a different head. That's the way that you do it. That trickles down to the lowest levels, because it depends on how is leadership dealing with officers that violate people's constitutional rights. Are they correcting it immediately? Are they sanctioning it? Or are they looking the other way and sort of acting like a lot of large institutions have been known to do, which is they say, we can handle these internal matters ourselves. We don't want to look bad. I mean, we know how well that's worked for example, the Catholic Church. But that's sort of that is a tendency that does occur with institutions that are very, you know, internalized. Well, they're very secretive.
Well, let me go a more pointed question. You bring up a good point, I think. You know, sheriff's powers in the Constitution are given to the states and to the local counties in the form of a sheriff. And now we see police. There were no police officers at the foundation of this country for quite a few years, probably a lifetime. Most of America, probably close to 100 years. No police. There were sheriffs. And sheriffs are accountable to the people because the sheriff of a county is elected. Exactly what you're saying. You don't like the head. Mm-hmm. You don't like the way things are going. You can get rid of the sheriff. Okay. You can't do that with police.
Yeah.
You can't do that with police. And so talk about that dynamic. What a question am I trying to ask you? Are sheriff's departments, more accountable generally than police departments from what you've seen?
That's a hard question to answer, and I do understand. You know, I have some familiarity with sort of like the historical background of that, but that certainly doesn't mean you want to pretend that a law enforcement officer that's not, you know, from a sheriff's department doesn't have the power that they do.
Right.
So you don't want to take that one
no,
too far.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
The courts essentially do recognize their legitimacy, but whether there's a difference in sort of behavior on a county level, which, I mean, we know that sheriff's departments are perfectly capable of the same sorts of abuses as big city departments, you know, like Chicago and, you know, NYPD. And we do know that one of the biggest sources of problems are these municipal policing unions that essentially are taxpayer funded, and they, you know, give major contributions to political people, and so it's very, very, very hard to get accountability because they have contracts that include stipulations that determine when and when they cannot be disciplined and put a lot of roadblocks in front of that. And so that is a major problem. And so if you do have, you know, if you live in a municipality where there is a collective bargaining agreement between the elected officials and the police unions there, you want to look at that and really study that, because that really is going to be something that will become a major source of problems and corruptive incentives. And so that's something a lot of people who are concerned about policing, like, you know, the more you appreciate that, the more you really get to the center of where a lot of the problems are.
I don't want to sit here and blame. I don't like, because there's a lot of police officers I've talked to are very constitutional, very concerned about the direction things are going and want things to change. And I've talked to other policemen who, you know, I can see them, if they lived in Nazi Germany, they would have wore SS badge. I mean, I can see both. Yeah. Ultimately, is this our fault? Is this our responsibility because we don't know our rights? We don't keep them in check? I mean, they are public servants.
They're, you know, I think the fact that, you know, most people, I think this has changed over the past few years, and I'm glad to have been part of that. But most people are not aware of their basic constitutional rights during police encounters, and police know how to take advantage of that.
Huh. There's the music. We got a break. On the other side, we'll do a little role playing for people. You know, what happens if, you know, a basic stop. Let's talk about the dynamics, legal, lawful, what the police have told him is fair and proper in those situations. Stay tuned. More with Steve Silverman, FlexYourRights.org.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as bio-superfood. I've taken bio-superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
This is a big question, big problem, big, you know, and it says it goes to so many aspects of our society, our culture, of who we are, our future, our past, our foundation, what have you. You know, how do we enforce law? What is law in this country? What is the way that we want to handle people? You know, we already are the country with the most people in jail of any country in the world, way more than China, with, you know, they got five times the people. We have more people in jail than China. It's obvious even the most cynical or skeptical police officer will have to admit that America is very litigious and very legal and very incarcerating. Let's put it that way. They may argue that, well, that's because we keep law and order. Do we? Really? I don't know about that. But this is a big question. We're talking to Steve Silverman from FlexYourRights.org. His videos are famous. They're famous throughout the world, really. Certainly in America, things like, am I free to go? Again, those statements, those ideas have come to our consciousness in large part to Steve and his organization. So his videos, we have links to his videos on our website, thepowerhour.com, where you can learn quite a bit. On YouTube is full of these different things. Watching the police, watching the watchers is very important. I want to do now, I think would be a real benefit to myself and the audience. Let's do a little role play, or let's kind of go through a scenario. If that's okay with you, Steve, would that be all right?
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so let's just do a basic traffic stop. You know, somebody's driving and they're pulled over by the police. Let's go through that. How should they conduct themselves? What options do they have?
Right. So when you're pulled over, anytime you're stopped by the police, your heart is going to be beating 1,000 beats per minute. You're going to be nervous no matter what. No matter who you are.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, if the people fear the government, there is tyranny. If the government fears the people, there's liberty, there's freedom.
Yeah.
What does that say, that when there's an interaction with police, immediately you're, you know, this is the discussion with police officers or whatever that just sends me through the roof. They can say whatever they want, whatever BS nonsense they want. Americans are afraid of you. You can come up with any BS excuse you want to. Americans are afraid of police. Your comment on that before we go further.
That's right. You're right. It's a major problem when people are afraid of the police. It is amazingly destructive to communities when people are afraid of the police. When people are afraid, it's bad for everybody. It's bad for the police because they can't get witnesses, even when there is a shooting. You know, they don't trust the police because to even talk to the police might get you, you know, in a worse situation. And so, you know, the whole stop snitching movement, which definitely, you know, which you may have heard of, is very much a consequence of aggressive, hostile policing activity where the police are no longer your friend, that you're willing to keep your mouth shut even if there's a murderer next door because you're more afraid of the killer than you are the police. And it's upside down. But it's a direct consequence of aggressive, sort of warrior-based, militaristic policing and just policing practices where they stop and frisk people right on a regular basis without any suspicion. And that just creates tremendous disorder. And that's a very important part of this. You know, I want to see a world where people can look, you know, when they, you know, kids learn about officer friendly and then that they become adults and they feel the same way rather than when they start driving around, they have that first encounter and they maybe realize that the officer is not looking out in their best interest. You know, it's a major problem. If people are afraid of the police, there's going to be crime and disorder. People are going to be less likely to report crimes. It's not going to be good for everybody.
Well, let's get back to the. I didn't mean to interject, but I just thought that's such an important point. That is so crucial. And because I get emails, people, well, you're hard on the police, and other people, you know, you're not hard enough on the police. But I boil it down to that right there. And I want to have a good relationship with police. With sheriffs, I want a good relationship. I want the Constitution to be followed. That's where we all meet. To me, that's where we meet the Constitution, but that's not what's happening. And right now, Americans are afraid of the police as an institution.
Yep.
And
yep.
Anybody who denies that is not living on planet Earth. So anyway, let's continue on let's continue on with our little scenario here. So,
all right,
pulled
well,
over.
Let's get there because you're pulled over. You're pulled over. Now, it's important to remember at this point, you are not in control of policing as a general entity. You know, you're only in control of your own thoughts, your own words, your own deeds in this situation. And so, this is where you want to really get as zen as you can be, even when you're in a stressful situation. Time is going to seem to slow down, your face is going to get warm, you're going to start shaking a little bit. And again, even if everything is perfect, you know, and you have nothing to hide and you've never had a negative experience with the police, it's going to feel tense. Officer's going to come by, you're going to want to have your hands as visible as they can be, you're going to want to put them on the steering wheel, you're going to want to have already turned off the car, maybe even put the window down a little bit. Officer, what seems to be the problem? Officer says, do you know how fast you were going? They might ask. They're already trying to get you to reveal things that you might not need to reveal. Officer, I don't know. How fast was I going? You were going, you know, 70 and 55.
Let me ask you something, right? Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Are you better? You say, well, I don't know how fast I was going. Well, then they can say anything. Is it better to say, yeah, I know exactly how fast I was going?
No, you know, I think it's, unless you were really staring right at the odometer and you had a recording of it, it's probably just best to say as little as possible and not try to, you know, get in a dispute about the facts I found with. And again,
well, there wasn't
you're going to be
dispute.
Nervous, and so you might slip up. You might slip up. But
yeah,
in general,
true.
The less confrontational you are, just saying nothing conveys a lot of power.
When somebody asks you a question, that's not. That's not necessarily confrontational. I'm just going. I'm just going back and forth with you. So say what you know. I'm not trying to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having a conversation. So if he asks you, or he or she says, "Do you know how fast you're going?" There's no confrontation. He's just asking you. Yeah, I was going the speed limit. I was going 55. Yeah, I was going
about
55.
I wouldn't. That would be a fine response. You know, it's like you don't need to say, Oh, yeah, I was going pretty fast. I kind of have a lead foot. You know, even these sorts of cutesy responses that people might do, they're generally not in your best interest to get into the habit of you know, admitting to anything. It's not in your best interest to be a bad witness against yourself. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just not necessary. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't increase
your esteem necessarily. Some people think the honesty helps.
Some people do, and again, yeah. You know, I don't, when it comes to sort of these lower level kind of things, the speeding stuff, like, I don't get too puffy about, you know, different sort of little techniques that people have. I would just say, like, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Someone will tell you a story about how they're like, oh my God, I totally know. I went through that stop sign. I'm so sorry. I've had a terrible day, yada, yada. And then the officer says, oh, I appreciate your honesty. And then, like, tears up the ticket and gives them a warning. Yes, that can absolutely happen. But, you know, I think that, you know, I take a different approach to this when it comes to things like this. I think it's a bad habit generally to do that. But it's up to you. Again, I always say, you know, when people start really fighting me on the specifics, I go, oh, yeah, it's up to you. It's still a free country mostly. You know, it's up to you. You can do whatever you want. You can yell at the officer if that's really what you want to do, but I would not recommend that you do anything like that or even really try to fight on any of these matters, but certainly not at sort of admitting to anything. I think that this is the sort of oftentimes people conflate asserting their rights by kind of getting like aggressive with the officer and you know, yelling or contradicting everything they say. And I said, no, that's not the best way to assert your rights. And it's definitely not saying, oh, yes, officer, I agree. You're absolutely right. I'm so sorry, and groveling. There's a middle ground, and it's just staying calm. And it's saying as little as possible, answering as few questions as is absolutely necessary to deal with the traffic offense, presumably. But if things start escalating, when the officer says, okay, I'm going to need you to step out of your vehicle, that's an escalation. A smart thing to say is, officer, are you ordering me out of my vehicle? Because an order is different than a request, but oftentimes requests seem like an order. When they say, I am ordering you out of your vehicle, it's a good idea to not fight that. You do not want to die on that hill, because there's, you know, a 1970s court ruling which essentially said that police can legally, lawfully, even if it's awful, they can order you out of your car for the most petty of reasons. They don't need to really justify that. And so if an officer orders you out of your car, it's generally a good idea. If after asking, are you ordering me out of my car, to step out of the car and close the door behind you. And then at this point, you know, if an officer sort of wants to play the game of, you know, well, you know, we've had a lot of problems, you know, I'm just doing my job here, but, you know, I got to ask you, you know, you know, do you have any guns, drugs, dead bodies in the trunk? This is this is so frequent and so common, this tactic and this refrain, that it just has to be appreciated by everybody. And it's something that officers learn this on the job in their training. They're taught how to do this, how to get consent. Because with consent, that means that anything that is sound, whether you knew it was there or not, whether it was left by you or a previous owner or a dumb family member or friend, if they find something there that is illegal, they can arrest you and convict you for that.
Let me ask you,
if you refuse the search, you will have a better chance of fighting it in court. And that's why refusing consent is so important and essential.
All right, let me stop you there. Let me ask you. Okay, so you're in the car. It says, I would like you need to step out of the car right now. So then it would be proper, yeah, just in a calm way. Sir, are you ordering me to step out of the car? So that would be calm, proper. Sir, are you ordering,
yep,
me to step out of the car? He says, yes, I am ordering you. Okay, sir, no problem. Get out of the car, close the door. So then he wants to, what if he wants to search you at that point? I mean, he doesn't have a right to search you. Mm-hmm. He don't start patting you down, does he?
Yeah, and again, I'll also add, your hands are going to be visible, and you're not going to make any sudden movements. Very, very, very important. Also, I'll stress this, just there was a horrible case that happened in Baltimore some years ago where you had an officer on either side, both had their guns drawn against this young man, and one officer said, "Give me your license and registration." And the other one said, "Don't move." And the young man made the fateful decision of reaching for his license and registration and getting shot and killed. And so that's a really important lesson of just, you always want to keep your hands visible and don't make any sudden movements and stay calm. And if you ever get contradictory orders from multiple officers, it's okay to say, "Look, I'm not going to move. I'm only going to speak with one of you at a time." But let's move back to the scenario we're talking about. So you're ordered out of the car. You get out of the car. The officers can lawfully pat you down. It feels a lot like a search. I mean, it's a frisk, but the threshold of doing a pat down on the side of the road is they only need what's called reasonable suspicion. It's really quite low. It's called a Terry stop based on the Supreme Court decision that created the parameters for this, but they can pat you down for just about.
Let me ask you another question right here.
They can't reach in your pockets.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you that also, but do you think this procedure and these traffic stops and the way they go, do you think that they are constitutionally compliant? Because I don't.
This is the challenging thing. This is why I do want to try to stay on these scenarios because, like I said, you know, just to keep this conversation on the check, when you are pulled over, not a good idea right at this time to be thinking about what should and should not be constitutional. However, I would say that, you know, these are things that are fought in courts by lawyers. Do I think that the courts have generally been too favorable to law enforcement? Yes. In recent years, the Supreme Court has kind of moved in a different direction, in a more libertarian direction, especially with respect to stop and seizure when it comes to, like, search of electronic devices and different, you know, techniques that police officers use of bouncing signals off radar towers. A lot of the justices are kind of becoming very skeptical of these powers because they're, you know, maybe not super, you know, up on that. They're afraid because, you know, with all these, you know, data leaks, just people are becoming more skeptical of technology and data leaks and the ability of someone to be able to search you without a warrant through electronic means. And so the Supreme Court at least, has been moving in a positive direction when it comes to these sorts of things.
Interesting.
But I know we kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent there, but yes, in, you know, for the past few decades, the police have almost always taken the side of the state when it comes to issues of you know, police search and seizure and the scope of it. And a big part of the challenge was that the cases that they were working from had a fact pattern where the plaintiff, almost without exception, waived their constitutional rights. For example, there was a case called Florida versus Bostick in the 90s, I believe, where it was police came onto a bus and the plaintiff, you know, wanted to get off the bus, but the plaintiff didn't feel like he had the power to get off the bus. And so when the police, you know, searched his belongings, he felt that he didn't have the right to leave. But the courts looked at it differently because he had consented to the search. He wasn't more insistent on leaving when he had three or four police officers blocking the aisle. And so when you look at the fact patterns of these cases, it makes it a little bit more difficult for the justices to rule in favor of the plaintiff when they, for the most part, have waived their constitutional rights.
Does that case bother you?
There has started to be a shift where we are seeing cases where the plaintiffs are more actively asserting their constitutional rights. And what is happening is that because of that, you're seeing cases where the scope of protection has been increased as a result of the fact that the plaintiffs have asserted their constitutional rights. It makes it easier for judges to make the right decisions in those cases. And so that's just another reason why it's important to try to assert your rights in case you wind up in that position.
I don't want to get off track, and that's what we're doing. But see, these are things that drive me insane. And police, and there's not, you know, if any police wants to call in and want to try to defend yourself, look, you can go to hell. I mean, that's what I think about it. Because what you just said is that if I'm on a bus, that case, if I'm on a bus and you don't stop me from violating your rights, then it's your fault. That's basically what you just said in that case.
That is how the courts have generally looked at it, and they've even looked at it in cases where, you know, with a long, like, you know, interrogations and detentions where the person will thinking, they, I guess, assert that they're asserting their right to remain silent by not saying anything. That should be enough. But then, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours, and maybe a day goes by, and at no point, you know, did the police think, you know, oh, we can't continue questioning this person? And then maybe they confess. Maybe it was a false confession. That's, you know, the people.
I mean,
the,
see, this goes
Central
to the
Park 5 know that this is a very real problem. That police often elicit false confessions.
This goes to the, do we have unalienable rights or do we not? I mean, that's what this is about. And people, listeners might say, why is he getting so upset about it? Why doesn't he let them tell the story about the role playing that you're doing? Because this is everything, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, really. This is so much bigger than this discussion about a traffic ticket. You want to know why the government does what they do. You want to know why they're out of control. You know why the Fed does what they do. You want to know why all these conspiracies in the government. You want to know why your rights are going away. You know, all these things is because these concepts and these paradigms and these dynamics that are in our head have been engineered out of us. Our heritage, who we are, the American birthright is not omnipresent in Americans walking around. And I am on my soapbox at the height of my ability to scream or project or whatever, trying to let you understand that you are endowed by God, that a miracle happened in this country 250 years ago, and that the police, who so blatantly want to disregard this, are not offending you. They're not offending the state. They are offending God Almighty and the universe itself. That is what I'm telling you. And so any excuse or any nonsense or any BS that any of these institutions want to put in front of you, they are liars. They are frauds. That is what I want to get across to you. And what Steve is doing in a much calmer way is telling you how to avoid problems with these lunatics.
You have no idea how funny this is. Like, people who know me don't generally say, like, oh, that's Steve. He's just very low-key and calm. So, like, thank you for making me feel like the kind of calm, quiet one, because I never, ever am that guy. But getting to your point, you're nailing it. You know, just like, that was sort of one of the reasons that really motivated me is, you know, people would say they should really teach this stuff, meaning know your rights information in schools. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try my best to try to do that. And so that's why I made, you know, a series of Know Your Rights videos, the most recent one being 10 rules for dealing with police. And we now have, you know, thousands of high school teachers, college professors, you know, just like attorneys, and even we even have some law enforcement officers who care about the Constitution who use our Know Your Rights information to train their officers to be more respectful of people's constitutional rights. And so we're, you know, we're getting the word out there. People are asserting their rights. God, if you Google, am I free to go? Or put that into the YouTube search engine, just like, you're just going to see days and days of videos of people recording the police. That in itself has been a huge innovation. It's been very, very important, I think, in keeping police officers on their, maybe not best behavior, their better behavior. And that's something that I've taken a lot of time to teach people. I made there's a video that's called 5 Rules for Recording Police. It was a speaking event that I did at the Cato Institute in Washington, D.C., a libertarian think tank, and it's gotten a few 100,000 views on it. 5 Rules for Recording Police, and that teaches you how to practically and intelligently and, you know, assertively record the police, because it's your First Amendment right to do so, and it will it's just good for people. It's good to assert your rights like that. It might even protect you in some way, too, and maybe even recording the police when someone else is experiencing something will protect them. So it's not always
It also changes the culture. It also changes the culture to where we're watching them. I mean, they're our public – they're our servants. If I hire someone to clean my house, you know, I don't let them beat me over the head with a hanger. You know, I watch them. You know, they work for me. And so it kind of changes that dynamic. We only have a couple of minutes. I'm sorry we didn't get to some other thing. Let me be clear. So, I do not am I free to go? I do not consent. I do not consent to searches. Pretty much, you know, get out of the car. If they order you, ask, are you ordering me get out? They're not allowed to go into your pockets. All the, you know, I've also seen police habitually lie, and civil asset forfeiture are the two things that just drive me insane. Where are we with that? Got about 2 minutes.
Oh boy. I mean, that's legalized theft. And I just want to get I don't know if that's a long conversation, but I will add to the things you want to say. I have nothing to say until I speak with an attorney. If you were placed under arrest,
very good.
I have nothing to say until I speak with my attorney, and say nothing until you have an attorney. If police are at your door and you don't want to let them in, you don't have to let them in. You can talk through the door and say, I can't let you in without a warrant. I have a mat outside of my door that says, get a warrant. And so I highly recommend that for anyone to get that message out. And it's good with solicitors as well.
Oh, I didn't even bring up houses. I'm glad you brought that up. So some of them are at your door.
Yeah.
You don't even have to answer the door, yell through the window.
Nope.
You know, do you have a warrant? What about no trespassing signs? Do they mean anything on your house?
I think they're useful. I think they create some sort of curtilage. Basically, it creates some expectation that if you have markings outside of your house and they're clear, it does give you a little bit more privacy protection.
FlexYourRights.org is the website. Steven, you're really a hero. I'm sorry this conversation. I want you on again soon. It could have went a little clearer, especially on some of these role play. I just got excited. I got real excited.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is a fantastic time. I'll take this anywhere, man.
Well, this is everything, ladies and gentlemen. This is who you are. And the government, not just police, I don't want to pick on police. There's a lot of great police, and my hat's off to them, really. But there's a lot of institutional fraud. I call it fraud. You know, other people on this have not. It's fraud. And I don't like it. And it's a big part of it is because we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know who we are. So, Stephen, God bless you and thank you, my friend.
God bless you, Daniel. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on again soon, please.
I sure will. Yeah, anytime.
FlexYourRights.org. Listen to the music. Joyce's Friday song. God bless you. I hope you have a great weekend. We got some special broadcasts next week with Joyce to commemorate her passing.
Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY.